This is the award-winning Siren FM.
Next month, the United Kingdom joins the rest of the EU in voting in their representatives for the next European Parliament. And this could be the first time that you vote, especially if you've just passed your 18th birthday. This could also be the first time you decide to vote in a European election. But how do you decide? Well, Siren FM is staging an ambitious programme on Friday, the 9th of May at 7:30 at the University of Lincoln. And we're inviting you to put your questions live to a panel including sitting MEPs Roger Helmer and Bill Newton-Dunn, as well as prospective candidates. You must apply in advance online. So just go to sirenonline.co.uk and click on the European Elections box you'll find on the top right-hand side of the page. Your chance to make a difference with Siren FM, Lincoln's first community radio station.
Hi, this is Jean Bruce Scott.
And Randy Reinholz.
And when we're not busily producing some of the most outstanding Native American theater in Los Angeles,
we always like to check out the best of British audio adventures with Alex Lefchuk and his team of the Midweek Drive.
And Midweek Drive morning editions on Siren FM.
And Southside Broadcasting. podbean.com.
Yeah, he always gets there in the end. That's the important thing. Well done, Randy. Okay, we can gear up for the show in earnest now because it's all about to start. And, of course, it's fair to say, Chloe, that you've missed Cameron Tilbury, haven't you? You thought, is he the bloke who plays some country music, she says. And I said, that's right, amongst other things, you know. I mean, he might have actually even been living in Peterborough when you last spoke to him, as opposed to now being over in Nashville. Anyway, just for the completest, and we know that there are many fine souls out there, we even say a belated Happy Easter to the wondrous Penny Evans, who tagged us in all those Facebook things recently. Chloe is an American Studies student, final year American Studies student. And in fact, this time last year, you were where, Chloe?
In America.
Yeah, can be people. I mean, obviously, north or south. You know, you can tie it down a little bit. You know.
Very much north in Montana.
Yeah, Montana, where it was probably just a wee bit chillier than it is now.
It started to get warm about now.
Was it?
Yeah,
it's all getting through there. So
previously, before that, it was very cold.
Yeah, and we also have the delightful Holly Parker, who is making her debut on the whole production. And originally said, "I'd like to come in and sort of just sit and observe, etc." As you know, Cameron, that's rare that we actually have a midweek driver who just sits and observes. Isn't that right?
Yes, it is.
So there we are. So, and you're a final year English student.
I am.
From the great city of York.
That's true.
Which, like Lincoln, of course, and Durham, has a cathedral, so they are cathedral city towns. I just thought I'd throw that in there. Because, I mean, some people might not appreciate what's going on in any sense of the word. Chloe, allowing for the fact that Cameron brings some country music stuff along on a weekly basis, I like to think of it as classic lines from the Maple Music Star, music and video biz. Did you manage to find anything out about Cameron on the web when you were doing some research, Holly?
I managed to get his Facebook page, but yeah. I couldn't actually get onto it.
No.
Sorry about that.
You couldn't get onto Cameron Tilbury's Facebook.
It just told me that 203 people were here. That's all I found out.
203 people?
I'm not sure how that works, but that's what I found out.
Well, you see, that is the magic of the internet. You see, 203 people at one stage were actually at Cameron's Facebook page. It's astounding. Anyway, the tune this week is one which we have indeed featured before, but it's so good and so twisted, we thought we'd actually go back again. So why, Cameron? Why?
Well, we don't always do country music. Of course, Nashville is probably more famous for country music, but all sorts of music goes on here. Deep Purple recorded their latest album here. Jack White from the White Stripes and the other countless bands he's been with. He actually lives here. He's got a store here, Third Man Records, and his studio is here. Lots of great music is done. And my wife, Jalea, has been a writer here and singer in Nashville for better part of 30 years. She'll kill me if she heard that. But she's written with some really top-notch people, and not just country. She's been writing a lot of pop R&B stuff, too. This is one she wrote a few years ago with a guy named Don Somerville, and this is called Twisted. Jalea on Siren FM. Thank you.
air guitar going. I can see you, Cameron. I can see you with that air guitar. I know, I know. It's all right. Listen, happy St. George's Day. I know you'd like to celebrate that piece of wonderful Englishness. And, of course, happy birthday and, indeed, demise day to William Shakespeare. You know, very symmetrical. You know, he was born today. Well, obviously not literally today, otherwise he would have time-jumped in all sorts of ways. But he also passed away today. He's a great chap. It's World Book Night tonight. And to celebrate, we're off to take part in the Lincoln Spider. So they take part together with Sarah Bullimore and Dale Dwellman and Holly and fabulous Chloe. Yes, you can meet them as well. They'll sign autographs as well. That sort of thing. It'll be the Lincoln Inspired quiz. We get an opportunity now for listeners to the Midweek Drive to actually give you a couple of questions. And Cameron, don't give the answers to this, but just see where we actually go with this. One of those questions is, who was murdered in 1327 at Berkeley Castle on the orders of his wife Isabella? Who was murdered in 1327 at Berkeley Castle on the orders of his wife Isabella? I know you know the answer, Cameron. You're just holding yourself back, aren't you?
I know.
Well, let's move on to another little theme whilst you're still there, because we're not going off to Jersey, in case you're thinking, are they not heading off for Notes for a Very Small Island? No, Anna Lewis will be back with us next week. But tonight is World Book Night, as we said. Thousands of passionate readers gift hundreds of books to people in their community that wouldn't normally choose to read. Holly Parker, how have you celebrated World Book Night so far?
To be quite honest, I didn't even know it was World Book Night.
Bless
which
her.
Is really bad for an English student.
Well, it's okay.
I have read today, so yeah.
Well,
there's something.
That's good. Chloe, World Book Night?
I'm celebrating it now with you on the radio.
Exactly. Good answer. That's why she's... You know, sorted out. I mean, it was fantastic stuff. That the reading agency charity have actually polled 2,000 people and found that 63% of men admit they don't read as much as they should. Many blame a lack of time. What's that then? It's just an illusion. A fifth say they found it difficult or don't really enjoy it. Furthermore, one in five have confessed that they have pretended to read a specific book to appear more intelligent. Chloe, you've never done that, have
I've
you?
Never done that.
Never. No. Exactly. And Holly, it's, as if the thought would even occur to you.
Yeah, not at all.
Exactly. Probably the most shocking statistic. Are you ready for this, Cameron? The most shocking statistic is that 30% of men have never really picked up a book since leaving school, with around the same number opting for film and television instead. I am now going to actually physically pick up a book. There we are. I picked it up now. It's Mr. Two Bomb by William Coles. And we'll be talking with William in the next part of the production, because it's worth doing. You know, it's, I mean, books, they're good things, are they not, Holly?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
And they're much better than the film half the time.
Oh, I mean,
true.
You know, and this is the opportunity for Cameron for you to say, yeah, and Nikki Wells has written a particularly good trilogy of rock star romance books, but, you know, you might decide, no, I won't sort of step into that for World Book Night, or perhaps you will.
Well, you could, because Nikki's written the three rock star romance books.
Yep.
Sophie's Turn, Sophie's Run, Sophie's Encore, and Jolia, who you just heard sing, wrote a song called Love Me Better, which is inspired by the book.
Precisely. So. And Penny Evans, our Buxton correspondent, has just sent in the message, all aboard the Midweek Drive Express train. Isn't that nice? All aboard!
Great.
Oh, I feel as though I must stop at Willoughby with Alex Levchuk and the team. Big smile. Cameron, she says, love that song Twisted from Jolia Wallace Tilbury.
Cool.
Yeah, you see, that's it. You know, instant response from that point of view. It's positive stuff there. But we haven't actually found out, what did Holly Parker make of Twisted with Jolia Tilbury? Did you enjoy it?
I really liked it, actually. Yeah, I really liked it.
Good. And Chloe?
Yep, not what I expected, but it was good.
Not what you expected.
No.
What were you expecting? Hawaiian guitar and yee-haw? Just a thought. Anyway, so moving on from that point of view, Holly, any questions for Cameron? I mean, I know you're confused about the CEO stuff, and we're still trying to identify that. But anyway, it's over to you. You know, the time for you to ask your first official question on Midweek Drive. Go.
Yeah, actually, I really wanted to know what Maple Star Music and Media actually was.
We are a publicity agency. We also do other media stuff, advertising, but really focused on publicity, and we help artists get to radio around the world. So artists that we've been working with are now getting airplay on radio stations in the UK, all through Europe, Australia, New Zealand, Japan. So that's primarily what we do, but we really don't say no to anything that comes our way.
Is it just country musicians then, or do you do other types of music as well?
No, not at all. We've handled some pretty heavy rock stuff. We've handled country, Americana, and some pop. But it's just so expensive for artists to get into the rock pop genre of things, just because you have to market it and it's so competitive. Internationally, country music is not as developed, so it's easier and less expensive for us to break into things for artists. But from a strictly publicity standpoint, yeah, we handle absolutely everybody. We it's not just music either. We handle Nick Elliott, who is one of the world's top rock photographers, and we handle Nikki Wells, who's an author. So we cover just about everything.
In fact, Holly, you'll probably meet Nikki Wells because she usually does the second show every month, basically. So it's in her calendar diary. Very good. And as she's German, it's very sort of timetabled on that basis. Normally, you can tell there's a beach towel that's actually laid over one of the chairs when Nikki Wells is here, probably around about 12 hours before she's due to arrive. Sorry, Nikki. Just a thought there. Anyway, moving on. Cameron, we've got a little, question for you to actually sort of open up a whole range of debate here, because one of our dynamic duo of co-presenters this evening actually suggested earlier today, Kings of Leon, go Kings of Leon. We can offer Charmer, Molly's Chambers, Crawl, You Somebody, Sex on Fire, Knocked Up, Radioactive. What do you think she should choose, Cameron?
I think we should go with Sex on Fire. And Kings of Leon are a Nashville band. They're based here in Nashville.
You see, that was what... Did you know that, Chloe? Did you know that Kings of Leon were a Nashville band?
Of course you did.
Exactly. As if she'd tell an untruth. I mean, it's like saying, you know, a book would be picked up and she'd claim she'd read it. When people from Norwich, as we well know, cannot tell an untruth. It's written into their DNA.
We can't lie.
No, exactly. That's why she's going to be one of the top markers of the Lincoln Inspired quiz tonight. Just enough for you to get along. It's the collection. But we have two final questions that we need to ask you. Chloe, can you remember those last two questions, or is that just pushing it too far? Because I think this is your first show since you... No, is it your first show since you came back from America?
No, I had one when I first came back.
You did one when you first came back, so... Has he had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat, and will he come back again? Go!
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat, and will you come back again?
Yes, and yes.
Good.
Excellent stuff. Sex on Fire there with Kings of Leon. It's just getting around to 22 minutes past 5 o'clock here on Siren 107.3 FM and probably in your time zone where you happen to be, even probably in Buxton. And it is now time to actually press one of the most magical buttons on a monthly basis that we've come to appreciate over the last few months. Yes, tis this one.
Annette Andre, ace actress and top correspondent, now live on the Midweek Drive with another audio letter from upstate New York.
But it's the last one from upstate New York, Annette. Before you go,
I know
California, we're going to have to rewrite the entire jingle promotional package. It's outrageous.
Yes, you will. Give you a little bit of work, you see.
Well, always important. So how's it going? Because you said you would be okay for tonight as long as you could actually track down the telephone amongst all the packing cases.
I said I did manage to do it. Only just it's an absolute nightmare. But anyway, apart from that, it's starting to sort of pull itself together, and the actual move happens in about 3 weeks' time, middle of May, anyway.
And then, as if to compound it, you may well be coming over to Britain later on in the year. Just wonderful.
I am.
See, it gets more and more exciting. I tell you that Holly Parker and Chloe Baker are almost beside themselves with excitement. It's very good. And Holly, being an English undergraduate, is particularly looking forward to this upstate letter and audio missive. So what's the topic this evening, Annette?
Well, today it's called A Can of Tuna for Your Thoughts. A recent conversation I've had with our cat, Shilingi, went something like this. Bad boy, Shilingi, bad boy. How many times have I told you not to chase Babu? Of course, what the bad boy hears is, blah, 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 Shilingi, blah, blah, blah. In the almost 10,000 years, the boffins say that humans have been living in close quarters with the cats and dogs who came in from the wild. A considerable industry has grown around the notion that not only should we investigate animal intelligence, but that we need to communicate with all sorts of furries, from apes to anteaters, to better understand how our own brains work. On the bottom rung of this shaky but trendy concept are the cartoons and shaggy dog stories that constantly fuel the condition called anthropomorphism, a mouthful for investing animals with human traits. How many times have you heard, as a teacup poodle cocks its tiny head with laser-like attention on the offered biscuit, "I swear she knows what I'm thinking even before I do." And then, at the top of the heap, are the human detectives searching for scientific proof that the chimp you saw last night in the Cornetto commercial could also scamper away with top honors on Mastermind. In countless private and university labs, a Noah's Ark of animals are being wired for sight and sound, shown flashcards, and given puzzles to solve that would spin a Mensa member into rashes of insecurity. All this, and heaven knows what else, to discover how much that Cornetto spokes chimp resembles us. And there's the rub. Every experiment examining animal intelligence I've read or heard about starts from how much the animal thinks or behaves like a human, and not the other way around. Not a single scientific experiment, and I've put very large quotation marks around scientific, has reported that a human being has probed an animal's psyche and came away speaking or thinking like that animal. Before I go any further, all this reminds me of an old music hall routine in which a man is on all fours searching for something under a street lamp. A bobby comes along, stops, and asks what the man is looking for. "My house key," he says. "I lost it across the street." "Well, if you lost it over there," the bobby asks, "then why are you looking here?" "Because the light's better," the man says. And that just about sums up the ludicrous searches going on around the world, looking for a key to animal intelligence. All seem to be looking where the light is better, where man is in control of both the experiment and the result. And it's ever been thus since humans evolved into the king of the hill slot. With dominance came arrogance, the conceit that all creatures are not only inferior to us, but that what animal lovers call intelligence, or invest animals with a range of emotions that, forgive me, apes ours, is wishful thinking. So, what are the results of all these experiments spanning centuries, decimating forests to produce conveyor-like academic papers, funding what passes for serious research to the tune of hundreds of millions a year? You be the judge from the following highly acclaimed experiments. A chimp named Washo spent more than 20 years in a university lab learning American Sign Language. His teacher, a psychology professor, proudly exhibited Washo's ability to sign for food when hungry and vigorously gesture when angry or upset. The professor retired with a comfortable pension and not a clue who this chimp was, and what, if anything, he thought of him, much less anything else. As for the reward science reaped for keeping a wild creature captive for all those years, zip. In another university lab, an African grey parrot conversed with his researcher for more than 30 years. He had a vocabulary of hundreds of words and phrases and appeared on numerous TV shows as the wunderkind of birds. And like Washo's keeper, this feathered motor mouth also feathered his researcher's nest well into a lengthy, non-productive career. With all that verbiage, we've learned absolutely nothing about how or what bird brains think. Now, after all this railing about empty, wrong-headed thinking, about how or if animals think, you might conclude that I'm anti-animal research. But I'm not. Jane Goodall sat for years watching, listening, and recording what troops of chimpanzees were doing on their own turf. She and others have written extensively about animal behavior in the only place it could possibly be valid, in the wild. Not in some sterile lab with their heads wired to record endless data that gets us no closer to understanding how an animal's, much less our, brains work. Until someone proves to me that they've successfully invaded an animal's mind and can coherently reproduce the hows and whys of that creature's behavior, you'll have to pardon me for reveling in the animal's otherness, their unique alien existence so different from mine. It's their unfathomable, mysterious being that intrigues, that's so counter to my existence, and the total dependence I have on civilization for my survival. The textbooks assure us that we, too, are animals, just smarter than the ones that are robotically pacing their cages in the zoos. Well, I can't be certain about all that, but somehow I don't think that bad boy Shilingi would agree. How about you?
Superb. And thought-provoking as ever. I must admit that many times I felt I was having conversations with undergraduates, and I thought the same thing was happening. I was just hearing, they were just saying, blah, 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 Shilingi, blah, 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 blah.
That's absolutely
true. It does happen, and I'm not going to ask either Holly or indeed Chloe to actually comment on that from their own experiences. It wouldn't be right. Holly, your thoughts on Annette's audio missive. Hard-hitting, I think, really, in terms of is the way in which we anthropomorphise individuals and other life forms on the planet.
Oh, definitely. But I do actually have a question.
Yeah.
I wondered, if you're talking about how you think that we should still do animal testing in their own animal environment and how you think that that's probably more worthwhile.
Yes.
Would you suggest that they stop comparing animals to humans altogether then?
Well, I think so, because we're two totally different species. I mean, we evolved from then and we've evolved in a different way, but all animals, each animal is completely different to the other one. You know, we're all unique in our own way, and they've survived for millions of years longer than we have, most of them. And their intelligence is something that is outside of our realm of understanding. I mean, the why do we want to know how they think, what they're saying? You know, we understand certain things from body language, and from certain sounds they make, and for possible forms of attachment to us, or what we call love. It becomes, I think, a dependence more than love, but they're affectionate. They do all that. But they have their own lives where they have affection and understanding.
Well, there we are. That was a shocker. All was going well, and then suddenly an animal came along and actually took her off air momentarily. Don't worry, we will endeavour to actually get Annette Andre back on the production, because if only to actually deal with that notion of us being stewards of the planet. Still, just goes to show you can't beat a live broadcast, particularly when you've got the monkeys on the line. Be said to be a useful philosophy to adopt when you're talking about sharing the planet with other life forms. Or maybe it's just that the dolphins tolerate us. Anyway, Annette, I did say you didn't have to be in the packing case being lifted off when you're in the middle of a transatlantic phone call. For goodness sakes, these moving people, they're just taking it ridiculously, to ridiculous levels there.
I know. Actually, we think it was probably a chimpanzee manning the board.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, hence the reason we put the monkeys on. It keeps them happy. That's the important thing. It's very important. I mean, I use the term stewards there. Something we talked about with Jenny Seagrove, of course, and the late Alexandra Bastida. And as you know, Annette, we're always very keen to support ethical treatment. And more than that, actually, the fact that these are fellow creatures we share our planet with. And we need to have a sensitivity to that. But Yeah. Were you happy with the response, Holly, or was she just getting you to... I mean, does that answer your question?
I feel like we were just about to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can completely see.
I don't know where it cut off, because I was just mumbling along. Suddenly realised there was no one there.
Blah, 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 Annette, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly right.
What's going on with this? Chloe, what are your thoughts on this whole thing? Do you have any pets from your own perspective?
I don't have any pets. Oh. I wish I had a dog. I don't.
Right. Okay.
But, no, really, I completely agree with it.
Good.
I'm a big believer of animals not being in captivity at all, so... Yeah.
Oh, that's good. I'm pleased to hear that.
Yeah, I'm completely along them lines. And I do think judging an animal by what we do is wrong. I mean...
Yes.
It's just, for example, when you get the animals in the shows and stuff and they do human things, everyone's like amazed by it, but I just think it's a bit weird. It's a bit wrong.
I think it's silly.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and very not very dignified.
No, not at all.
Take away their dignity, you know. I think there's a lot of that. But I think it's, you know, the cruelty involved in all of this is really, when you get down to it, even though the researcher or whoever it is says, oh, I love it and I'm giving him the best of care... They're not, because they're not in there. It's taking their culture away. It's taking their own...
Got a little confession to make here, Annette, because on the 4th of May, otherwise known as Star Wars Day, we will actually be having the Midweek Drive Terrier team, put together by Minty Steed, etc., taking part in Sci-Fido, part of the Sci-Fi London Film Festival, in which you can actually dress your favourite terriers, animals and chihuahuas as characters from your favourite science fiction and shows. We've got Genuine Canine there. I can tell we're looking in the studio, and Holly, you're quite... amazed by this, I think, in many ways, but they do look quite content, if not a little bit bemused in certain instances.
I'm probably bemused is what it is. I would like to see the humans come in dressed like the animals.
That's a good idea.
Well, Sci-Fi London 2015, we'll put that to Louis Savvy, the Sci-Fi Festival organiser.
Yeah.
I did think that the chihuahua dressed as Marilyn Monroe is probably just a step too far in many ways there, but still.
I think a little bit.
It's quite extraordinary still. And obviously a little acknowledgement for Phil Leonis's very own Fuzz Aldrin, feline, based obviously on the West Coast, who I'm sure you'll meet up with when you're heading over there, because the grand movie... I mean, just share with us why the decision to move East Coast to West Coast. I mean, Arthur was basically saying it's partly climate and other things. I mean, it's quite a significant shift, of course, in culture.
It's very significant, but you see, we spend time... I mean, Arthur spent many years, of course, in LA, and I spend time... with him too. We were back and forth from LA to London and things. Frankly, it's mostly the weather, because the winters here are brutal. I mean, they really are. And as you get a bit older, I hate to say that.
No, Annette, I've told you before, we don't do age on the Midweek Drive. You become either more experientially enhanced or chronologically gifted. It's bottom line.
I didn't mention anyone.
I just
made it a general thing.
Very true.
And, no, but it's a brutal winter, and I hate winter, actually. And too much where we are is really, it's ice and snow and can be a little bit tricky and scary. But aside from that, we've also got friends and family over on the West Coast. And,
of course, it does mean that these phone links mean you have to get up just a little bit earlier in the morning, because obviously...
Yes, you do.
Yeah, exactly, it's just a thought, and we won't do that.
I have to bear that in mind, don't I?
Well, it's absolutely essential. So, we wish you all the very best for the journey. Presumably, you're not going by wagon train, because that would be quite interesting in its own way, really. If you
it would, wouldn't it? Yeah. I tell you what, it would probably save some of the terrible sort of journey, having to arrange for us and luggage and, you know, obviously the movers are taking everything, but three cats and a flight that will take them. And us, and arranging everything at the other end. I mean, it's just been it's really quite a big thing. But it's getting there, and we will arrive there. And then hopefully, not in May, but hopefully by June, I'll be able to come back on.
Exactly. Obviously different numbers, otherwise who knows who we get in New York. It'd be different dialogue coming to Ireland.
Actually, a very nice person who's bought our house. Really nice.
Well, if you'd like to throw in as an added sweetener that they could also become a semi-regular correspondent for the Midweek Drive, you know, feel free to do so, Annette. I mean, if it helps at all. Do you know, I have realised you haven't named your cats as yet in terms of naming them on the show. A little bit of star spanglingness for them. So what are their names?
Oh, okay. Well, I just named one a while ago, who's Shilingi.
Right.
And Shilingi, they're all Swahili words. They're all Swahili names.
Yep.
Shilingi means money.
Yep. Nice.
And Babu
yep.
is revered one. And Suru means monkey.
Brilliant. There we are, you see. It sums up the whole magic of the whole system. So it kind of answered those last two questions, but Holly, would you like to throw them at Annette? Have you sort of, it's first time, first show, I know you could do that. Has she had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us over with a little bit of monkeys thrown in, basically? So,
can I just say something first?
Of course
actually?
You can.
When I found out that you were on the show tonight, I just have to say I really love Randall and Hopkirk.
There we are.
Oh, really? Thank you. That's wonderful.
And let's face it, she's by far the better genie. Amelia Fox tried, but, you know, Kenneth Cope and Mike Pratt, with, of course, the legend that is Annette Andre as genie, she kept it together, really, in many ways.
Thank you. That's
thing.
Really wonderful. Thank you.
There we are. So, those last two questions.
Well, I'm pleased to meet Holly and... Sorry?
Well, no, I was just saying, Holly, did you have any questions about Randall and Hopkirk deceased? We've got a few moments. Do you want to throw them in at this particular stage?
I really want to ask if... I'm going to use first names, even though I've obviously never met them. But if Kenneth and Mike were actually friends, and if you were all friends with them.
Oh, yes. I'd actually worked with Mike before in several things. Kenneth, I hadn't. But we all got on. We were really very good friends and got on really well and... worked with the scripts, and half of my enjoyment of the program was working with them, because they're both terrific people, or were, Mike, unfortunately. I knew Mike quite well.
We should really get Kenneth on one of these shows, actually, Annette. You know, I think
it's sure.
Yes, yeah, I think we'll get on the case, if only for Holly. No, for the whole range of things. fantastic stuff. Annette, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the show today?
Oh, I have. I have, as you can tell. My voice is sort of, I think it's allergic stuff, I'm not sure, but it's not great today.
Don't worry.
Despite all that, I've had a lovely time, thank you.
I take it you'll be back in June after a sensational, successful move when Shilingi, Babu and Sumu actually sort of have taken the move with their human companions as well.
That's right, and as soon as I can, I will let you have the new phone number.